Okay. Good morning, friends. Sorry about that. We had a small technical difficulty, but I think we are up and running now. So it is a joy to be here with all of you again this morning, and just for the sake of bringing the masters into our conversation today with some of our hiccups that we've had, let's just have a short prayer one more time and call on the masters. Divine Mother, Heavenly Father, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, our beloved Guru, Paramahansa Yogananda. Uplift our consciousness, purify our hearts, that we may live as channels of thy light in every thought and intention, in every action and every whisper. Help us to know thy love, to share thy love with all. Om. Amen. I had the pleasure of reading from the book of Matthew a few weeks ago. I was preparing for another talk that I was giving, and I was reading a line from the book of Matthew, and I was so struck by just how beautifully written this particular book from the Bible is that I ended up reading the entire thing from start to finish, not the whole Bible, just the book of Matthew. And I was realizing that so many of the phrases that we hear Yogananda and Swami Kriyananda repeating from the teachings of Christ come from this particular book. And one of them being the phrase that we have heard so many times, be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. And it struck me, I started thinking about it. Perfectionism is something that I experience in my life. I always feel the need to be as perfect as I can be, and to feel as though if I could just do something perfectly enough, well enough, without any issues, making everything just as good as it can possibly be, then I can win the love and the affection of the people around me. So I equate those two together in terms of what it means to be perfect, that if I mess up even just a little bit, then maybe people will love me a little less, or maybe people will turn away from me in a certain circumstance. And so many of us fall into this trap because perfection, on the flip side of perfection, I was thinking about it in terms of what is the drive, what is it that makes us feel that need to be perfect? And on the reverse side of perfection, what I found is that feeling of unworthiness, which is something so many of us can relate to, ultimately coming to that ultimate space of asking the question, am I worthy of God's love? Because we're imperfect beings. Every single day, we're being drawn out in different directions. We get angry, we get greedy, we get excited, we get all of these different emotions that the world is just drawing us out into. And we can't always help. This is what Yogananda says. It's not always the first reaction that matters, but the second. It's the ability to return to that space of knowing, who do I want to be? What is the attitude and the intention that I want to set in the world? If we go out there and we strive to simply be perfect, then we are going to end up inevitably constantly failing. And if we believe that our worthiness of love is attached to our ability to be perfect, then we're in for it, because those two can't actually relate to one another, because we can't actually be perfect. I experienced this. I just spent the last week with people whom I love very deeply, but people who expect a lot from me. And I was feeling from myself just that constant pull to always be better than I was being, to always act differently, to fall in line with what they were expecting or wanting from me, feeling really guilty and badly if I wasn't doing things the way that they wanted me to do them. And I found myself just being tugged back and forth constantly over the course of the time that I was spending with them. And that's what got me thinking about this line from the book of Matthew, be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. I went back and I looked at it again last night, and where exactly this line comes from, and it comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So it comes, or I'm sorry, the Beatitudes comes at the end of the verses where Christ is sharing the Beatitudes with his disciples, which are again, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart. What are the Beatitudes? One of the first times that I had the pleasure of taking a class on the Beatitudes at Ananda, the instructor had said to us, the Beatitudes are the be attitudes. They're the attitudes that we want to be, the qualities that we want to share in the world. We want to be pure, pure in our spirit. We want to have the attitude of meekness, because meekness in this case doesn't mean small. What does it mean? Open-heartedness, our willingness to lean into the divine, to listen for what it is that the divine is calling us to do and asking us to do. Blessed are the peacemakers, the pure in heart. Blessed are those who stand up for what is right, even in the face of persecution. Christ is not talking to us about specific actions that are expected of us, or in this case, of his disciples in those moments. It's the attitude that we hold in our hearts. God reads the heart. God reads the intention that's behind them, which is really a beautiful thing, because what does that mean? We don't have to be perfect, not in the sense of the way the outer world, Maya, the material world, dictates for us what perfection can mean. And so I had that experience, as I said to you. I was with a group of people, again, whom I love very much, but who expect a lot of me, and I could feel that pull and that tug, and I could feel myself last week getting off of my center just a little bit. And when I was off my center, I acted in ways that I didn't want to. Outwardly, I wasn't being overly rude or mean. I wasn't being aggressive. In my actions, but my thoughts were very aggressive. My attitude, my intention was really aggressive. And I was just feeling like, well, if these people are going to push at me, then I'm just going to push back. If they're offering this much force, then I'll just offer that force back. And what does that do? It ends up in a gridlock. And here we were in this battle, in this gridlock of pushing back and forth against one another, really in a battle that I don't think any of us knew that we were actually in, besides me. I knew I was in a battle because of the way that I was feeling. But instead of coming back to the yamas and the niyamas, the beatitudes, these qualities that help us to strip away the ego identification, that help us to strip away that feeling that we need to fight for our spot, that we need to fight for our worthiness, that we need to fight to be worthy in front of the eyes of God. That tough exterior, we get to shed that away piece by piece. The example that Swami Kriyananda uses when he's talking about the yamas and niyamas, which are the do's and don'ts of yoga, they're about those things that we can control in order to help us live more purely in our true selves. And they're about the things that we can relax into and expand in order to be more purely. Things like nonviolence, non-lying, as well as things like devotion and contentment. Practicing qualities that are helping us to develop into our highest selves. And the image that Swami Kriyananda uses is that you have a bucket and you're holding your bucket or your pail and you're filling it up through your meditations, through your devotion, through your prayer. You're filling this bucket up with the divine, with the milk of the divine, the sweet honey and milk of the divine. But we have all of these holes in our bucket, just these little tiny pinprick holes, or maybe some that are bigger, that are spilling that milk out everywhere. So here I am holding my bucket, filling up my soul, my heart with the divine, the presence of the divine. But I have these holes that need to get plugged up. And we can use our attitudes, our right attitude, right action, in order to begin to plug those holes, in order to begin to find ways to contain that milk and that honey in our heart rather than letting it run out. And it's not about what happens exteriorly. It's not about how well we act out in the world, though, of course, our actions are important, but it's about the intention that we have in our heart. It's about the way that we move through the world and what we seek to be. And this is why he can see, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers. He's not saying to us, go out and stand up with your riot and picket sign and scream and yell for peace and demand peace. He's saying, live peace in your heart. He's not saying go out and stand up against righteousness in an attempt to be persecuted and use all of that force and aggression that that's coming at you in that case. He's saying stand up in your heart for what is righteous, what is pure, and right, and stand in that. You know, I just was talking with someone last night, a family member who, you know, I've just made some professional changes in my life recently. And they were saying to me, yeah, we were all thinking it's crazy what, that you're making this change, but you're doing it for God. And she was saying it a little bit sarcastically. And I stopped her and I said, yes, I'm doing it for God. I'm doing it because this is what I believe in. This is what I know to be true. And this is where my heart lies. So I stood up in that moment for what was right, what was righteous in my own experience. Not to be mocked or not to have any satire. No, yes, I'm doing this for God, for my search for God. We can do it in little moments. We may ask to be do it in larger moments, in bigger tasks. But are we always able to do that, to stand up for what we know is right? Because we know why we're here. We're here to find God. We're here to release the bonds of the ego and to be free in that knowing of who we truly are. And it comes back to our attitude, the Beatitudes. It's not perfection that we're seeking. This is why at the end, I found it so powerful that Christ ends this sermon or ends his, he goes on and he continues to talk about, I'll come back to that thought. I'm going to put a pin in that thought, but I will finish that sentence. He goes on after sharing the Beatitudes to talk about exactly this, that what matters, and again, he's preaching to his disciples, to those disciples and devotees who are very close to him, who are attuned to him, and who can understand the subtlety of the teaching. To go out into the masses and say, it doesn't matter what you do, it matters how you feel. Well, that could have a different effect. But to speak to those people who are very closely attuned to him and who are seeking the divine in that way that so many of us on this spiritual path or on any spiritual path are doing, we can tune into those subtleties and feel them for what they truly are. So he goes on to talk about how this is all about our attitude and how we need to enter into every circumstance with that attitude of grace and expansion. Christ uses the example where he says, if you are bringing a gift to the altar, if you're bringing a gift to the altar of the divine, and again, he's not talking about literally bringing a gift, but he's saying when you're bringing yourself, your heart, and you're laying yourself at the altar of the divine if, with all of your devotion, but you remember that you're angry with your brother. Do you remember that your brother has harmed you in some way? He counsels his disciples, leave that gift at the altar. Walk away, make peace with your brother, and then return and offer the gift. Everything is about our intention in our heart. Everything is about that spirit of nishkam karma. Action without the fruit of, without need for the fruit of the labor that we're doing, because everything is an offering into the divine. We don't have to act and strive to be perfect. We want to purify our heart and our intention more than we want to purify the outer actions. So I can come back to this example where I was angry with someone who was challenging me, and I pushed back with force. And when they presented, when they came at me with some aggression and hostility, I was aggressive and hostile back. And again, just through sarcasm, through, you know, it wasn't through actions. We didn't get into a big, huge fight about it. It was like these little picks and undercuts and little jests back and forth with one another. And I left that experience reflecting on it. I was driving home from being with them, and I felt a lot of guilt, and I felt like, oh, I didn't treat them very well. And then my ego would come in and say, yeah, but they didn't treat you very well either. And that was true on the surface, but what mattered to me was not what I said, because I didn't necessarily say anything bad, but it was the spirit and the intention behind what I was saying. So if they could come at me with a little bit of sarcasm and I hit back with a little bit of sarcasm, that's not the intention that I want to hold. That's not the energy that I want to hold. So I was going into that experience and feeling a lot of guilt on the ride home and thinking about that line from the Bhagavad Gita that we have where Krishna is saying, cling to me, adore me, give me all that you are, give me every thought, you know, allow me to be in your mind in every single moment. And he says, and if you can't do this, then toil for me, labor for me, for he who labors in spirit in communion with my energy will surely come to me. And then how does Krishna end in this moment? And he says, if in this thy poor heart fails, bring me, or not that, and if in this thy faint heart fails, bring me thy failures. Just as we hear Christ offering to us, it's our intention. It's not about being perfect in the first moment. It's about cultivating that spirit, plugging up the holes that are draining the milk of divine honey. Plugging up those little holes that are keeping us from knowing and truly acting in that space of attunement with the divine. Our intention is what matters. I'll leave you with one final story. And I've shared this on a number of occasions, so some of you may have heard it before. But it's a great example of what it means to act in the to be able to transform our actions through our spirit and through our intention. I used to clean up after the fire ceremony that we would have in Ananda Palo Alto in the summer months. We get to have our fire ceremony outside and everybody gets to participate in it and throw the rice into the fire. We have a big fire that we all get to share with together. And then at the end, there's rice everywhere because it has to get cleaned up, and sometimes karma gets pulled away, doesn't quite make it into the fire, it runs astray a little bit. And so one day I was sweeping up, because it was my job, one of my seva opportunities was to clean up the grains of rice and to clean up the fire ceremony. Everyone else goes inside for the purification and meditates in front of the altar with the light bearers. And one day I was just feeling a little pouty about the fact that I wasn't inside meditating, that I was out here on a hot summer day sweeping up the grains of rice, and feeling like I really wanted to be in communion with God in that moment, and I wanted to be meditating rather than out here cleaning up. And the thought just came to me that what I was doing as I was sweeping up those grains of rice, I wasn't just sweeping up grains of rice, but what I was doing is I was sweeping up those seeds of karma that my guru bhai, that my brother and sister had offered into that fire pit, had offered with all of their heart into the divine. And now it was my opportunity to pick up all those little stray kernels and grains of rice and to offer them as I could into that fire, in the metaphorical fire, but to clean up those grains of rice, to really spiritualize that practice. And so this is what I did, and it completely transformed that experience for me. Because my intention had changed. My attitude had changed. It wasn't so much about the action that I was doing, because the action was hollow on the outside. To someone passing by, it could look like my action in that moment was perfect. I was being the perfect little devotee. Here I was sacrificing my time inside meditating to be outside cleaning up. And that can look like a form of perfection. Here she is. Look at how great she's being. But my attitude was completely off. My attitude was pouty, was frustrated, and it wasn't until that thought came in that I could transform that moment, that I could transform that attitude and really live in that state of, be ye therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Perfection is about retraining the habit patterns and the thought patterns that lead us awry, that keep us grounded to our ego, that say, I should be inside meditating instead of out here sweeping up these grains of rice because I want to commune with the divine. But we can commune with the divine in every single moment. That's all we need to do, is open our hearts to those opportunities. And that comes through plugging the holes. That comes through right attitude. That comes through practicing and living the Beatitudes. Be ye therefore perfect. You are already an expression of that divine quality. There is nothing outside of us that is drawing, there's nothing outside of us that cannot be reconnected back into the divine, because we are all expressions of that divinity and of that divine quality. So we bring everything we are. This is the attitude and the power behind what it means to offer ourselves to the divine anytime we are feeling imperfect in action, in intention, in thought, in attitude. We offer that. We offer what we can. Just as Krishna says to us, cling to me in every moment, and if you cannot do this, toil for me in every moment. Think of me in every moment. But if in this thy faint heart fails, bring me thy failures. All the divine wants from us is our love and our attention. It is all that the divine is craving. And we have that opportunity. It's not about being perfect on the outside. We're not going to be perfect. It's about our effort and our willingness to continue to try, to stand up one more time, to reflect in every moment. Am I bringing the right intention? Am I serving the divine with all of my heart? And when we do this, we find moment by moment, action by action, we too are attuning ourselves to that place of divine consciousness that can allow us to live in the perfection that Christ offers to us. Be ye therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. God bless you.